some words, but we're going to be in the book of Proverbs this evening. But as we have been looking, of course, we look at many different Proverbs, but I want you to go to Proverbs 11 as we begin. And as we'll go through a lot this evening, I'll put every one of them up on the screen, but you can feel free to turn through this. There's not too many chapters in this book, but we'll look at one or two verses at a time. So as we look at the Proverbs this evening, just know we'll be looking at many of them. As we're looking at various topics, whether it was anger, foolishness, pride, you could technically look at friendship, although I don't know that we're going to look at friendship. But tonight we're looking at the topic of mercy. And really, as we've been doing this, we've been contrasting two different characteristics. And so as we look at mercy, we're going to look at ones who are merciful and ones who are merciless, or they lack mercy. So tonight, as we look at this, have you ever played the game Mercy as a child? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody, you've heard of the game Mercy? Yeah, all right. It's the idea, you put their hands and their fingers together and you'd bend it back until one of them would cry, "Mercy, mercy." Or maybe you heard it as uncle. They would cry uncle, all right? So maybe that was your generation. Maybe if they put you in a headlock, or they would be sitting on top of you, and you'd have to cry out mercy, all right? I've heard of uncle. We always called it mercy. And you'd have to cry out for mercy. You know, it's one thing to play a game like that, a game of mercy or uncle. But it's another thing to act that way in real life. Unfortunately, our world is filled with more than a few people who choose to stipulate rather than negotiate a relationship. Without real mercy, what do we have? We have constant misery. We need mercy. The Christian walk is one that we need the mercy of God. The book of Proverbs is filled with many different comparisons. And we've done our best to look at these different contrasts, whether it was the rich and the poor that we'll look at. You could look at a virtuous woman, a harlot, the wise son, and the fool. Today we look at the merciful and the oppressor, and we'll see the difference between these two people. But as we come to grips with this, the character of this, of the merciful and the merciless in the book of Proverbs, I want us first to consider back in the book of Exodus. I'm going to put a couple verses up here for us, found in Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus 34, God instructs Moses. He's instructed to carve out two new tablets of stone, okay? If you remember the Ten Commandments, and he went down and he broke them in anger at the people, and so he is told to carve out two new stones. And as the Lord comes out on the mountain and he comes down in his glory to meet Moses, he begins by speaking to his servant Moses. And before he recarves the Ten Commandments, God is going to reveal himself to Moses. And he reveals his name and then his attributes. Look what we see first in Exodus 34. I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry. Verse 5 and 6b. It says, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord.'" It's really two wonderful names. God reveals that he is a promise-keeping God. In fact, the as he's saying the Lord, it's actually his covenant name, Jehovah. But he also speaks of this El, which speaks of his strength, saying that he is Jehovah and he is a powerful God. He is a God of strength. But then notice what comes after this. It says, the Lord, a God. Notice these words, merciful and gracious. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Keeping steadfast love. Steadfast love is another word that we could say as mercy, okay? But as we keep going, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. You say, Pastor, this isn't Proverbs. Well, the reason we need to do this is important for us to realize and notice that the first attribute that God revealed himself to Moses as he's chiseling out the Ten Commandments is saying, look, I am a God of mercy. Oh, yes, he's a God of strength, but this God with great strength is a God of mercy. You ever ask yourself, why is it so important that God would reveal himself in such a way at this time as he's re-giving the Ten Commandments? Think about it. Israel had just failed miserably. They had just broke these Ten Commandments. And what they needed was the hope of God's mercy. They deserve judgment. They didn't deserve his grace. They deserve judgment, and God is withholding from them. Without the mercy of God, they would be utterly hopeless. And so as they're getting these Ten Commandments rewritten, God is saying, look, I am a God of mercy. You see, we can't play uncle with God. We would always lose. But yet he is a God of mercy. And he, and notice what it said there. He's keeping mercy for the thousands. He's keeping mercy for generations. And thus the people of God are also said in Scripture that they are to be a people of mercy because God is mercy. We see that in Psalm 103, Psalm 106, Jeremiah 3:12, told that they are to be merciful like God is merciful. And thus as a Christian, the one who exhibits mercy is somebody who exhibits the character of God for others to see. The book of Proverbs challenges the wise to be merciful. Think of these two Proverbs for just a moment. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, let not steadfast love, again, another word for mercy, okay? Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. All right, we're told to be merciful. Think also Proverbs 21:21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. There's some promises here. And so you see the importance that Proverbs places on being a merciful person. And so tonight, if you're in Proverbs chapter 11, I want you to see our theme verse for this evening. Proverbs chapter 11, I read in verse number 17. And God's word says this, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. A man who is kind, a man who is merciful benefits himself. I believe in the King James, it says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. It is good for you to be a merciful person. And so, as Proverbs presents the merciful and the merciless or cruel person, they are opposites. So we're going to take time to look at these two opposite characters. And we begin by looking at the merciless. Really, our theme for this evening is this. The wise person is a merciful person. The wise person is a merciful person. You know, society has many names for the monster who is merciless. Psychologists call this such person a sadist. Business people would say he is a shark. Sports enthusiasts say he is highly competitive. But Proverbs, the merciless, is portrayed as somebody who lacks compassion. They feel no sorrow when others suffer. They seem to be unable to empathize with others. Perhaps you've heard of the character, a true person, Pol Pot. He was a Cambodian revolutionary who led the Khmer rogue armies to massacre, it says, as many as 3 million of his own countrymen between the years of 1976 to 1979. That's a lot. The atrocities of the Khmer army are legendary. As he sought to force an agrarian socialist society on the people of Cambodia, Pol Pot displaced those who lived in the cities by forcing them to work as farmers in government-controlled labor camps. Boy soldiers stood guard with machine guns over once prestigious members of Cambodian culture. Educated men and women were forced to pull plows. Children were taken from their families and executed at the now famous killing tree in the killing fields. Now, this was pulled off of Wikipedia. And so just as the world, they stood in horror at all that was happening at the Holocaust, the world stood in horror at the merciless acts of Pol Pot. Wouldn't it be great to be able to know the character of how would somebody, why would somebody resign to such atrocities? How would they give in to this? Well, really, this book of Proverbs tells us how you can see one who is merciless. What are the characteristics? So I want to begin by looking at the character of the merciless. And I begin by looking at Proverbs 12, verse 10. If you're in 11, it's just one chapter over. Proverbs 12, verse 10, and it says this. Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. In essence, it's saying the cruel or merciless man shows no value of life. Not even for the beast, let alone for humans, whether it's a baby or an adult. Unlike the righteous man who values the life of his beast because it is life given by the Creator, a cruel man pretends to show tender mercies. He pretends to be compassionate when he's actually practicing cruelty. It'd be like a doctor who takes a Hippocratic oath, saying, I will do no harm. And yet, he maintains an abortion practice. It doesn't make sense. But the cruel man may be respected in society and then destructive to those that he draws close to. Now, there are many more than just an abortionist that we could describe this way. It could be an attorney who approaches witnesses with kind words but has evil intents. It could be coaches who seem very nice to members of the team, but they turn their back on them when they are injured or just not liked. It could be politicians who give warm and engaging speeches, but they'll turn against the innocent and the oppressed. And you see, there's many different types that we can describe this. They might look, they might say the right things, but in reality they act a different way. They are cruel. So we see the character of the merciless. But how about the conduct? How would we describe them? You see, fundamentally, cruel or merciless individuals bring oppression upon others. They have no regard for the Creator of life. They have no fear when they make the lives of others miserable. So I want us to see, what sort of things do they do? First, we see in Proverbs 14:21, they oppress the poor. I said 21, I mean 31. They oppress the poor. Notice what it says. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. The oppression of the poor, it happens when somebody takes advantage of somebody else. Like a skilled negotiator takes advantage of somebody who's really an inexperienced buyer or seller. Oppression of the poor happens when a dictator imposes his will in a society and brings everything under his own control. When a person exerts power in such a manner that takes advantage of those with lesser power, they are demonstrating a spirit of being merciless. It's like the playground bully. The playground bully, well, they can grow up to become a great oppressor as they get older. The merciless oppress the poor. Not only do they oppress the poor, what else do they do? They build themselves up by taking the advantage of others. They build themselves up by taking advantage of others. Proverbs 21 and verse 16, it tells us, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. The second part of verse 16 often brings confusion. How is it that one who gives to the rich, how would it that they would only come to poverty? And so it can be confusing. But think of it this way. Perhaps you've heard of the name Bernie Madoff. Familiar name, maybe. You've heard of him. Not a good image. You probably have. Just ask people who invested with Bernie Madoff what they think of him. They gave money, all right? They gave to the rich, and what were they left with? Poverty. They lost everything. Or maybe think of one who's trying to climb a social ladder. They're trying to climb up this. They're trying to impress those who live at the top, all right? They're putting on the show as they're trying to, what's the word, keep up with the Joneses. And they're throwing their money. They're throwing everything at this to have a certain image. In reality, what happens is they lose everything. Proverbs 22:16, we can't forget it. It says, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth will only come to poverty. You see, it's talking about, look, when you're doing harm to others only to improve your own self, it's going to come to naught. It's going to ruin you. Where's Bernie now? What happened to him? He got caught. He went to jail. Our world is filled with those who would mercilessly take advantage of others, as Bernie took advantage of many. Also think about, not only do we see that they oppress the poor, they take advantage of others. Thirdly, they have no compassion for others. Proverbs 22, verse 22 says, "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gates." The gates of the Old Testament city, if you can picture this, as they would come into the city, it's where the poor would gather, the beggars. And they'd be at the gates, and as they were there, they'd be begging for money. It would have been impossible for us to imagine the conditions of these beggars. It's not like what we see today. But there were those who would be cruel to them. Those who would treat them in a horrible way just because they were poor, they were willing to steal from them. It's like the bully who steals the skinny kid's lunch. Or somebody who would go and take the homeless man's grocery cart. What a horrible thing to do. The merciless show no compassion for others. Well, but the Proverbs tells us a little more about this person. It tells us that there is a catastrophe for them. The ones who take advantage of others, the ones who oppress others, the ones who lack compassion for the poor. Well, what else? What happens to them? Well, the merciless find themselves subject to God's law of sowing and reaping. There is a payday someday. We've already looked at Proverbs 11:17. Remember what it says? A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. Like, look, if you are hurting and being cruel to others, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to harm your own flesh. Isaiah 13:9 warns us, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger." With wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and destroy its sinners from it. Pol Pot's suspicious death came one night before the Khmer rogue planned to turn him over to an international tribunal, and it remains suspicious what happened there. Or Bernie Madoff, his new home became a prison cell. The point is, there is a catastrophe that awaits the merciless. The end is ruin. So now that we've seen the character of the merciless, the conduct and catastrophe that God says is in store for the merciless, let's see the contrast in Proverbs. What does Proverbs say as we look at the merciful? When you find the words merciful or mercy in the book of Proverbs, you should be aware there are actually three different words that are used in Proverbs to describe the character of the merciful. One, the Hebrew word, chanan, speaks of graciousness demonstrated by showing pity. It's a kind, affectionate spirit. It's spoken of twice in Proverbs 14, 21, and 31. There's another Hebrew word, rakam. It's found only in Proverbs 12, 10, and 28, 13. It speaks specifically of God's tender love and mercy. It's kind of the unmerited compassion that he shows to his people. But then there's a third one. The Hebrew word, I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right, but chesed, it speaks of kindness or loving kindness and goodness. This word is the most frequent used word to describe mercy or the merciful in the book of Proverbs. And so we're going to answer two common questions. How can a person be merciful? And what happens to a merciful man? And so let's look at what Proverbs tells us. The first thing we see is, how can a person be merciful? What are some things that we can do? How can we become this way? The first one's going to be found in Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4. And here it says, by diligently reading and applying God's word. Look what it says in Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. God's word says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Again, perhaps your translation says mercy, where I highlighted steadfast love. It's the same words there. In Proverbs 3:1, we learn that the foundation for a merciful lifestyle is found by faith in the living word. When a man's heart is conquered by God's word, verse 2 assures us there is long life, there is peace, which is accompanied by what verse 3 tells us, with mercy and truth, or mercy and faithfulness. Here we find a wonderful chain that is anchored to the word of God. The mercy in truth, or the mercy and faithfulness of verse 3, it is anchored or built upon the commandments of verse 1. And so, as we see, they go together. As we're in God's word and we're reading his word and we're applying God's word, you should demonstrate mercy. It should be impacted on you. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Merciless cruelty cannot coexist with peace, and peace cannot be known outside of God's law. As we looked at our verse for this month, that we should live peaceably with all, well, how does that happen? It happens by your being in God's word. You're soaking up God's word, and it comes out. And so the first thing is diligently read and apply God's word. Secondly, we treat all men equally. Treat all men equally. Proverbs 14, verses 20 and 21. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. And now the poor here could be poverty, it could be sickness, it could be ignorance, race, ethnicity, social status. The point is, the merciful will show mercy to everyone. It doesn't matter who it is, you show mercy to everyone. Those with without a heart of mercy will find someone that they consider to be beneath them, and they'll pour out their cruelty. A story was once told of a mother who approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. And as she was seeking a pardon for her son, Napoleon, he replied, the young man committed a crime. It was a certain offense that he had committed. He said he did it twice, and justice demanded death for his actions. And so the mother says, but I don't ask for justice. I am pleading for mercy. And Napoleon replied, he said, but your son does not deserve mercy. And sir, the woman cried, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all that I ask for. Well then, Napoleon said, I will have mercy. And he spared the woman's son. An interesting story. We can think of biblical principles that always lead to a spirit of mercy. Just let me throw this out to you. What are some biblical principles that lead to a spirit of mercy? What are some things that you can think of in the Bible that would lead to mercy? Yes, that was the number one on my list. Forgiveness. As we forgive others, they don't deserve it. They've wronged. But that is an act of mercy. Can you think of others? Words like that. There's a word that often pairs right with mercy. You often see them always together. Yeah, you got it, Jay. Let's say it. Grace, all right? Grace, that's another one. How about generosity? Love. Another one we often have seen, and we've seen it a couple times tonight. It's not on this verse right now, but kindness. These are words that pair together with mercy. So we treat all men equally. We show them forgiveness. Show them grace, generosity, love, kindness. Well, as we consider that then, well, what happens, our second question, what happens to a merciful man? The book of Proverbs really gives us at least five promises to the one who is merciful. The first one is in our theme for tonight, the merciful does good to his soul. Do you remember what we read about it? I like the King James as well. I put it in the ESV, but the King James says it this way. The merciful man doeth good to his soul. As we look at that, the Bible tells us, exercise profiteth little. It's my favorite verse, all right? I absolutely love that verse. It's not really what it's trying to get at. But as we know, exercise is good for the body. Well, Proverbs says mercy is good for the soul. It's something you need. Food feeds the outer man. Mercy feeds the inner man. And giving mercy may cost you very little, but guess what? When you withhold mercy, it actually cost you a lot. It'll eat at you. It destroys you from the inside. So being merciful is actually good for you. It is healthy for you. Not only that, Proverbs 14:21 tells us that the merciful is happy. Who doesn't want to be happy? Who doesn't want to have the happy situation in their life? Proverbs 14:21 tells us, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Why is it true that a merciful man knows happiness? Because the one who lacks mercy lives with regrets or a guilty conscience. They may lack friends. Happy is the one who is merciful to the poor. They'd have friends. They'd have others who treat them well. Thirdly, the merciful will maintain relationships. Proverbs 16 and verse 6 tells us, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You see, as we don't keep record of wrongs, it leads the record keeper to lose friends if they do keep records. Don't keep records of wrongs. You do so, you start building them up, and you have all these reasons not to love somebody, not to be friends with them. But if you have mercy and you forgive, you're going to keep friends. You're going to keep relationships together. Fourthly, the merciful will be preserved. Proverbs 20 and verse 28. Uh-oh, did I skipped one on here. Well, let's look at this one, then I'll go back to the one I skipped. Proverbs 20 and verse 28 tells us, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. And you see, God preserves and protects the one who displays mercy to others. Because of the great status of the king, he may find it very hard to show mercy on the lowly. But God promises that he will preserve and protect the king when he is merciful. And the idea is, show others the mercy. If he would protect the king, he would certainly do so for you as well. You are protected by God, who is strong. The one I skipped, I'm quite certain it is not up there. It is not. In Proverbs 21:21, we find that the merciful will find life, righteousness, and honor. Life, righteousness, and honor. Proverbs 21:21 says, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Priceless treasure is promised to those who are truly merciful. As we conclude, there are two times that God uses the deepest and most passionate word for mercy in the book of Proverbs. Remember, I told you there was three different words for mercy. But the one that is the deepest and most passionate is only used twice. The first one is found here in Proverbs 12:10. It says, "Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel." So this time it's used in a negative sense. It's speaking of the hypocritical mercy of the one who is cruel. It isn't really mercy. It's presenting it that way, but it really isn't mercy. But the second one is found in Proverbs 28:13, and this is the way God uses mercy. Look what it says. "Whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." If you would know God's loving mercy, you must honestly confess your sin. If you desire to receive his mercy, you have to be honest that you are sinful, that you need it. Not that you deserve it, but that you need it. Might it be that you need to confess a sin of cruelty? That maybe you need to confess to your spouse or your children. Maybe you need to be a little merciful yourself. Around the time of the Korean War, I finish with this story. Around the time of the Korean War, Kim Jong-un had seen 2,000 out of 20,000 people on his island of Chunam Island murdered by communists. And they dragged him, they dragged his family outside their village. They had killed his parents, his father and his mother. His father and his wife. They were beaten to death and they had left Kim for dead himself. However, he revived and he sought safety at a friend's house. He was turned over to the communists. Only the sudden appearance of an American ship off of the island coast saved him this time, because the communist soldiers, they hurried away to the battle. And during that time, Kim, it said, he hid out in the countryside until the South Korean army captured the island. The communists who had killed his wife and father were arrested. And because it was wartime, the police chief there, he had the authority to pronounce a judgment without a trial. And so as the chief had prepared to kill the men, Kim pleaded, "Spare them, spare them." They were forced to kill. Well, the police chief was surprised. And the police chief said to Kim, he says, "That was your family they killed. Oh, why do you now want to spare their lives?" And you know what Kim said? He says, "Because the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, would have me show mercy to them." I can't imagine how hard that had to be. And so the communists were spared execution because of Kim's plea. News of his action, actually, the news of what he had done, it spread among other communist supporters in the area. And when Kim later had climbed a mountain to preach to communists hiding out, he was not killed. Instead, many of the communists became Christians. And when he finally left that island, there was a church of 108 members. A church bigger than ours, all because this guy had mercy. Friends, I ask, what might the ministry of mercy in our church, what might that do in our community? What might that do in your family? What might that do in our church if we showed mercy to one another? Would you pray with me this evening? Lord, we thank you for your word. Once again, in Proverbs, Lord, we have looked at different characteristics that are given from the wise speaker. Lord, as we search and study, we see that we are to be people of mercy. Help us, Lord, to live out what we have received. We have received your grace, yes, giving us what we don't deserve, but we have also received mercy. You have withheld the judgment that we do deserve. Lord, we don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve eternity in heaven. We deserve punishment. We deserve hell. And so, Lord, people who have been given so much, how can we withhold this from others? Help us to learn. Help us to follow these wise words and be merciful people. For in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, this evening, in the time we have left, I want to briefly